Good morning. We're doing in the Chicago Statement of Biblical Inerrancy, we're doing Article 11. And we have it up there so you can see that, affirming certain things about the divine scripture. Its infallibility and in its inerrancy. And I was, some of you know that I've referred to J.I. Packer from time to time. He's one of the men that signed this statement along with 300 other Reformed and evangelical thinkers. And I just happened to be Mark asked me to do this. I happen to be reading a book that was a kind of a tribute to him written by his various students. As you know, he taught over the years, wrote lots of books, and is still up in, I think, Vancouver, British Columbia, at Regent College up there teaching. And Packer, I just read this section in the book about why he joined this council on biblical inerrancy. And his reason was pretty simple, and that is that the doctrine of the infallibility and the inerrancy of Scripture was waning in modern times. Fewer and fewer people believed that the Bible was infallible and inerrant. And so he joined in this Chicago statement. In fact, he wrote parts of this, and I'm pretty sure that this section on inerrancy had a lot of input from J.I. Packer. Now, it contains these two words that we don't use every day, infallible and inerrant. And so we need to understand what that means, because that's the description of the Scriptures, infallible and inerrant. And let's take the word infallible first. Inerrant is a little easier to understand, just means no error. Inerrant. Infallible is a little harder to understand. It comes from the Latin, which means the root word is there is F-A-L-L, foul, and it means to deceive or to err. It's the same root word as fallacy. When we say something really isn't true, it's a fallacy. That's that same, it's in error. And so infallible, in means not in Latin, and so it's not fallible. In other words, the word is incapable of making error or producing deception. That's what infallible means. Now, we, by contrast, as humans, are fallible. We make errors, we make mistakes, we sin, we miscalculate, we make misjudgments, we deceive others. So we are fallible. I try to think of illustrations of that. If you work in a factory, I know some of you are in engineering and so forth, the assembly line, the work of the employee who does something at this end is checked here, and then it may be checked again. Why is that? Because we're not infallible. We're likely to err. We're likely to fail to do something we were supposed to do or do it correctly. This is why a company's accounting records are audited. It means they're checked by somebody else to make sure that they haven't misled people who are going to be reading these statements about the condition of that company. Why do we do that? Because we're not infallible. And then I was thinking about this and I thought, now wait a minute. In our household, we're really strong baseball fans. We like to play baseball, and we like to coach baseball, and my son coached baseball. We just like baseball. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. We give an award every year to a player called the Golden Glove Award. That means that they were the outstanding fielder didn't make mistakes and errors. So I took a look at this and I thought, no, those guys must be perfect. They must be infallible. And when I took a look at the records here, I found out that the first time we made that award in 1957 to Gil Hodges of the Brooklyn Dodgers, some of the old timers will remember that the Dodgers were once in Brooklyn. Gil Hodges got the Golden Glove Award as a fielder. And that year he made 14 errors. So no one really wins this award by not making any errors. In fact, Vic Power, who was an Indian, some of you know Vic Power, he got this award 7 times, and every time he made 5 to 10 errors in the season. So we're not infallible. And the word is, however, infallible. Why is this? Because it's breathed out by an infallible, inerrant God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that he breathed out this word, and he is a infallible and inerrant God. Therefore, what he breathes out is infallible and inerrant. And Numbers is another good quotation on this. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie. And Titus 1:2. God who never lies. In other words, he never errs. He never deceives. He's utterly trustworthy. And that's what Packer says inerrancy means. Totally true and entirely trustworthy. He puts it another way. It means that in all disputes about life, the Bible has the last word. Bible has the last word. Therefore, we have a choice to make. Young, old, and those in the middle, what will be our authority in life? Are we going to simply depend on the words of men and women who revile and detest God and are apathetic about the word? Frail and sinful, self-serving, self-absorbed, are we going to depend on that kind of authority? Packer says that this is a surefire recipe for weirdness. A surefire recipe for weirdness. And if you watch the TV today, you see exactly what's happening. People are trusting not in the word, but in themselves. And that is a surefire recipe for weirdness. Or you can depend on the sure, truthful, reliable word of God, infallible and inerrant. So, what an anchor we have in that word. What a compass we have to guide us. What a light we have to go before our feet in that word. Just like Tom Baudet, that famous theologian of Motel 6, says, we're going to leave the light on for you. And the Lord says that to us. We're leaving the light of the word on for you. It's always shining. It's always available. Do not get lost in the darkness. Amen.